Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Hardman Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. To try and give you a taster of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and online at iomtoday.co.im, I'm joined by news hound Sam Turton.
Hello.
Jess Ward.
Hello.
But no Katie Kitchener.
I know. It's like a big, gaping...
Hole,
yeah.
Should we explain why she's not here?
Well, I believe she's off ill, is that correct?
Allegedly, she is off ill.
Okay.
I reckon she's
you
going.
Think?
And I think she's been spilling up this all week. She's been having more, let me see, every round, or there's an Lembasip in there.
the fake cough coming in.
Yeah. I reckon she's sunning herself in flipping Governor's Hill or wherever she lives, you know. Yes, fine after
having a picnic.
Good week, Sam.
Yeah,
you were off for a couple of days, weren't you?
Yeah.
I've seen a lovely picture of you in a tram.
Yeah. I photobombed one of our photographer, Dave Neely, was out doing a picture of the first run of the mountain tram for the year.
Mm-hmm.
And just as it happened, as he was taking a picture, I went past and gave him a friendly hand gesture to wave him as I went past.
Right. And you took me by surprise when you said hand gesture. What was there many on the first tram of the season?
Yeah, there was loads.
Was it ceremonially piped off, or was there...
No, we actually missed the first one. We had to wait for the second one.
What
had happened was, you see, we got to Derby Castle, and just as, there was a big queue and all this, and we realised there was a massive coach party had come over from Wales. And, we are...
Tourists injecting money into our economy.
Exactly. Big supporters of the tourism industry. So we sat at the side and waited and let the people
that's
go.
That's very nice of you.
And, a bit of spirit to show how good we can be.
Jess, you've also had a couple of days off this week.
Yeah,
If you've noticed from your Instagram, you've been doing your best to visit iom.com or whatever it is.
So I also paid a trip to Snowfell.
On a tram?
No, not on a tram.
Tramless?
Tramless, so yeah. I walked up the mountain.
How long did that take?
Well, I was doing a lot of photography on the way up, so nearly 3 hours from Laxey to Snowfell. And then I ran all the way down, and that probably took like...
With your camera?
Yeah, well, I had it in my backpack, so... It was really good.
I felt
so alive.
I'm tired just thinking about it.
Yeah, I'm a bit sunburnt today, which is pretty rare for Isle of Man.
You're like a little mountain goat, aren't you? Did you find your way all right?
I did get a little bit lost at the start because I forgot how to get onto the track that leads you straight up Snaefell.
Mm.
So I made a few guesstimations and I eventually found it hopping over a few fences. I went up the steep bit of the hillside and it was, my legs absolutely killed afterwards. Absolute regret. I don't know what is a good route to go up to the top in a nice way.
Yeah, on the tram.
That's probably it, isn't it?
Was the cafe open, Sam?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Did you have
we had a spot of lunch.
Ice finger or whatever the kids eat these days.
No, they don't do them, unfortunately. I mean, they do meals up there, really, now.
Oh,
so it's more like...
Did you get
for
anything?
Yeah, I had a brunch, which was pretty good.
Oh, there you go.
I got sausages, very nice.
Is it a Whisper bar?
You went all out?
Yeah. And then
did
ran
you not
back
take
down.
Your own backpack now?
Well, yeah, I did. I took I packed a little wrap for myself.
You've both had lovely weekends. Well, I've been here slaving away, keeping this company afloat by the sounds of it. You've been jaunting around Snaefell. Talking of jaunting around, there's been some good news this week, Sam, hasn't there, for people who like flying into London.
That was a bizarre way of putting that, but yes, there has.
Was it correct? Was it factually correct what I said?
I suppose so.
It was, yes.
But anyway, Flybe didn't actually announce this. Manlink Travel announced it.
They did, yeah.
And then Flybe later confirmed that there's going to be a new route to Heathrow,
mm-hmm.
which is, certainly the time you've been here, we've never had that route, have we?
No.
And then, probably you and producer Emma are the only ones old enough to really remember it.
Yes,
you remember
used to, when you had to get on the plane, you used to have to put your goggles on and there'd be a man at the front going, "Chocks away!" And it was, it took 3 days and it'd be a stopover in Coventry.
Yeah.
But I do vaguely remember Heathrow flights. Yeah.
But, they stopped about 17 years ago.
I thought it was 12.
No, it's something like that.
Oh, right, flipping heck, 17. Well, that is a long time. So Heathrow, obviously that's a big hub for international flights, so a lot of people will be getting quite excited about this, I can imagine.
Well, yeah, obviously, it's part of course, being bought out now by Virgin and Stobart, who are going to be running it as part of their business sort of thing, and it'll be linking up with Virgin's flights that go around the world, because Heathrow is Europe's biggest airport in terms of passenger numbers, so it's good for the global flights.
What sort of flight times are we?
Well, that's the only sort of bugbear, I suppose, I have of it, is that the flight times, I don't think, are great for that.
And what are they?
Because it's 1:10 in the afternoon going out of the island, and 5:05 and even coming back.
Okay.
So it doesn't really work for business. It's a bit of a... You know, you look at an overnight stay on the way out. It's just... I think it's good that we've got the opportunity in more links. Yeah. I just think... I don't necessarily think that flight times are the best. And there was actually brought up in Guernsey as well this week, because they've got a link being announced to Heathrow.
Okay.
For the same... And they've had the similar sort of complaints made about it.
Well, Guernsey, correct me if I'm wrong, plane fans, but they have their own nationalised airline still, don't they?
Yeah.
It's owned, part owned by the government, at least. So it must be... Is it them that are running this? Or is it going to be Flybe that are...
I believe it is going to be one of this new Flybe, Virgin, Flash, whatever they're called.
Virgin
and
B.
They're doing one from Newquay as well. And
right.
So sort of... I mean, if you look at from the island being a regional airport, I suppose we are, it's linking the regional airports in with the main hub for their, you know, long-haul flights that Virgin and that operate.
So, yeah, interesting. But when's the first flight?
21st of April. Okay. So for the plane spotters who want to get down and see that on the...
Sure, Mr. Madra will be there with his long lens. He does enjoy a good plane.
Yeah, he always pretend he doesn't, but he loves to get a nice picture of a plane.
John is famous for when you send him, say, cricket pitches at King William's College, you'll get about 4 cricket pitches and the rest are of planes. He keeps telling me that's his way of telling there's been a wicket taken, but I just think he gets distracted.
He takes a wicket. Every time there's a wicket taken, he takes a picture of a plane.
Yes.
Okay.
He went through a phase where other grounds where he was taking pictures, so you'd have... lovely cricket, action shot, picture of the grass. And that was his way of telling you there'd been a wicket. So, you know, he did have method in his madness. But King William's College, obviously, is the island's sole grass wicket. I don't know, there's one at Cronkbourne now, I think. But he used to, so there'd be pictures of cricket, plane, one cricket, plane. So, yeah, he used to get distracted quite easily.
I love John.
We all do. Quick, you know, I've got you here both. Favourite airport destination?
From the Isle of Man?
Yeah.
I haven't actually been to many. I've only been to Manchester and Gatwick.
So which was your favourite?
Probably Gatwick.
Gatwick, Sam?
I'd probably say Gatwick, because I've got a lot of mates live down in London. It's quite a good airport to get into the centre from.
I quite like Bristol.
Okay, yeah. I've not been there. I've heard good stuff about it.
Bristol Airport's very nice. It's not massive. You can just stroll in and there's a bus from the city centre, you know.
That's good.
Luton, I went to last year. I don't know if I'd be hurrying back, but yeah.
You can do that in the summer, though. Mm. But Luton, you've got Gatwick and Manchester got a train station, whereas Luton, you've got to get a bus to the train station, which is underneath a car park and quite some walk away. Because me and my mate refused to pay for the bus because we bought train tickets and walked down the hard shoulder to get to the train station
with your bag dragging behind you. Oh dear. Heathrow, though, just before we move on from this, is this all year round service? Or
yeah, 7 days a week, all year round is the plan.
Because I noticed in the press release it was quite carefully worded, it said summer timetable, so I didn't know whether there was.
Well, yeah, it's. I believe it's going to be 7 days a week in the summer, and then it'll be a continued service, but maybe not. Maybe. The thing is that these airlines, everyone does it like that, don't they? You don't have airlines have a set thing all year round, really, anymore. You've seen it recently. We said about Flybe have altered their flights out of Liverpool.
Mm.
So, you know, they change and adapt to what they're
using. I'm sure it'll be a very much suck it and see policy and see how many people are using those flights. And I'm sure they'll be adjusted accordingly. Jess, back to you. And a front page story you did, was it last week?
I think it was last week, yes. So it was about a young boy, Ben Christian, who was saying that...
A cyclist.
Yeah, he's a competitive cyclist here in the Isle of Man. He's 18. Mm. He's asking for tougher sentences on motorists after he was hit by a car driven by a man who hadn't passed his driving test and had no insurance. And so he had quite a lot of facial damage. And
so Ben was just out doing one of his training rides and then unfortunately had this accident, which was... Where was it?
It was close to St. Mark's.
Yeah.
So
he was just hit by a car. You know,
yeah.
Very, you know, as you said, he had quite bad injuries to his face.
Yeah, to his chin and his teeth.
He's had extensive dental work, hasn't he? And stuff
like
that.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I don't know if people have already... looked at the front page, but the driver of the car, he was sentenced to 200 hours community service and had to pay £5,000 compensation.
But it turns out he'd been driving without a licence and insurance for quite a while.
He had been.
Which is just unbelievable.
Unreal, isn't it?
Yeah, you wouldn't think you could evade the authorities, for want of a better word for that.
Exactly. So you can read that on, it's online now, and it's on our Facebook page if you want to look into that a bit more. But I decided to take it to the streets, really, and ask members of the public how they felt on Manx Roads. Did they feel safe as a cyclist, somebody walking on the side of the road, or...
A horse riding.
And lots of people said they feel safe generally in cars, but if they are out and about, then no, they do worry about cars getting too close to them. I spoke to a man who was registered blind, and he said whenever he goes for walks around in his town in Ramsey, he's noticed that some motorists will ignore the red lights and keep driving while he's about to cross the road. So that's quite scary thinking about it. And so, but some people said actually the roads are okay. So one couple, they're from Nottingham, they said compared to the roads, when you compare them to here, the roads here are heavenly, really, because of the congestion.
Sam,
what
do you think?
Nottingham.
Obviously, you had a few years in the adjacent Isle.
I've lived in Nottingham for 4 years, and I'd say the Nottingham's a weird one because the city centre's taken up basically by the tram system, so they have the pedestrianised a lot of it. But as soon as you get, I used to work on just off the main road, which come out of the city centre, and it was pretty bad. Like, it is just, they don't really care at all. It's dual carriageway with just giant roundabouts halfway down it, and there's no real, there's no cycle lanes and like what we have here, and there's no real, what's the word, courtesy given towards them at all. So
it's a strange one, isn't it? Because it's obviously something we're trying to encourage as a community, isn't it? People to use their their bikes and walk to work.
Yeah, there's the cycle to work scheme in place.
Yeah, and walk or get out running or whatever, be more active. What would you say we could do to encourage that, Jess? Is there one thing you've noticed that you would think, oh, actually, you know, if there was this X, Y, or Z, it would make me want to do more active activity around the roads? As
Yeah, it's a good question. Well, I think fundamentally attitudes need to change, but in terms of infrastructure, I think more cycle lanes can help. I don't know how viable that is because some roads are pretty narrow. I think it's also with cyclists as well. I know I have nothing against cyclists, but sometimes I've heard people say they get annoyed when they go side by side and twos and threes sometimes. So I don't know whether, I think it's just attitudes, to be fair.
Sam?
I know with Onken, they were looking at putting in a form of cycle to work or walk to work sort of thing. And of course, the problem is you can't cycle on the pavement. But in Onken, you know, it's an old village with tight roads. And a lot, like right for the centre of the village is quite narrow. So you're looking at going, where do you put one in there? Without sending people off down Royal Avenue and round Port Jack, that sort of area. So I don't know, really. I don't know. I think there's infrastructure challenges, which while it's easy to say, oh, people should be doing this, people should be doing that. Until we match that with an investment in infrastructure to make them changes, I don't really see the point of it. Because you look at the state of some of the Orange roads, they are in quite bad shape.
Yeah, I was only thinking that the other day. I was driving somewhere and I was thinking, is there something wrong with my tyres or whatever? Because the amount of banging and crashing, and it, unfortunately, it's the state of the roads. You know, and that's quite a main road. It wasn't if I was on a back lane somewhere or something like that. And you have to say, you know, there's a lot of infrastructure boxes to be ticked at the moment, and maybe that's not perhaps the priority it should be.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, Jess, you've had a busy week.
Good
week. You spoke to podcast legend this week, didn't you?
Absolute legend, yes.
Harry Owens, the nation's favourite beekeeper.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. Oh, there might be
he really is. He's amazing.
Not only our nation's, but Burundi as well, probably. He's probably in the top 10 beekeepers there now.
I think he's won that title, fair and square.
For those of you who haven't listened to the podcast before, Harry's been mentioned before. Harry from St John's was... went to East Africa a few weeks ago now, wasn't it?
It was the end of February and the start of March.
So we went out to do an educational tour about beekeeping and trying to help the local communities and how they can make honey and do other things.
Giving lots of workshops on how to make protective gear when they're extracting honey and as well as making wax kind of frames. So, so he's 84 years old and he's gone all the way to Burundi to do this, and he's made such a big impact. And he's gone along with members of Christian Aid. So one of the women, her name is Anna Burden. She is like the head of the Northwest Christian Aid and Isle of Man. So he went along with her, and I've spoken to them. And actually, I've got a bit of an announcement, and this is going to be a podcast exclusive. Yeah.
Wowzers.
So they're really pushing this. They're really hoping to make this a bit more concrete over in Burundi. I can't say much because I'm writing about it, so it will be in next week's Examiner, I hope.
Okay.
But the Lieutenant Governor has signed up as patron of this new initiative
they're
hoping to do in Burundi. So you'll find out more when I write about it.
Okay.
But I spoke to Harry, and I've got a voice clip here for you. This is him speaking. I asked him, how important is the practice of beekeeping?
In the case of Burundi, it's quite vital. In my opinion, the reason I was asked to go is to help them for nutrition and to help them to improve their lives some way or other. Because, I mean, they're exceedingly poor. I've never seen anything like it in my life, poverty like they're out in Burundi. It's incredible. We were doing this tutorial in this classroom, and there must have been 50-odd men and women. And this chap gets on his feet near the end of what I've been doing and talking about. And he was going at it, and he was... And I thought, what the heck have we done? I mean, have we offended them or something?
Yeah.
Oh, we were quite aghast. And then our interpreter, who's a lovely, dedicated man who I think very highly of, called Desiree, he said, no. He's saying, why weren't we told this before?
Oh,
we should have known this years ago. And thank you very much for coming to see us and helping us. And And I thought, wow.
Yeah. That's amazing, isn't it?
And that happens a couple of times, there and south. I actually showed them in the north how to make a solar wax extractor, which is a box that double glazed lid to it, and you put bits and pieces of wax in, and it melts it with the sun's rays, and you produce blocks of wax, which then they can recycle into beeswax foundation, which is the next thing I'm on now. I'm literally with Louise Whiteleg, sourced out how to make beeswax and the process, kind of helped by Peter Wood. I've got that on PowerPoint, and I did sketches today to further the methods of producing beeswax and
like a step-by-step guide.
And that should be on it, wending its way today or tomorrow to Burundi for them then to translate it into Burundi from my English. I'm going to make guidance or literally a handbook for them, make a stage-by-stage reference book for them. So if they can't say, what do I do next? Boom, it'll be there in the book.
What has it been like for you to kind of make such an impact in a country that is facing issues like poverty and discrimination in a way in terms of women and young people aren't traditionally beekeepers?
That's right. It was humbling. I got a heck of a lot out of it because I was giving them... I've been keeping bees this year, 51 years. I was fortunate enough to be able to pass on these skills. What I'm trying to do is, with the help of Louise, is to keep it going, because it's vital that we don't let go and get them to put the wax in the hives, which is not in at the moment. And they'll certainly be absolutely gobsmacked, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
The bees will produce. It's going to work. I want to make it work.
Well, we'll have to watch the space, and hopefully you'll be back there again soon.
Well, yeah, November, hopefully. Mid-November, I would say I'll go if I can.
Yeah.
God willing.
Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you, and good luck.
Thank you.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Harry Owens there, a legend in his time.
Absolutely.
You did the full interview with Harry was in this week's Examiner, wasn't it?
Yes, it was in the Examiner on page 10.
And you say you've got this exciting announcement, which I'm sure we'll hear more about in next week's podcast, in this week's Examiner. So
yes, that's right. And he's also having an event at St. Ninian's Church, I think. Right. I'll just double-check that. So he's going to be giving a presentation of what he did over in Burundi on April 25, and that more information will be in my piece next week.
April 25th, as it's otherwise known, not April
25th. No, see, I do that all the time, though, because of how we wrote it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
house style.
From bees to boots, And this week's sports story. Now, I've kept it quite cryptic on our scripts today. Did you see Balaboots?
Oh, yeah.
Sam will know about it because it's been heavily mentioned in our sister podcast, the Max Football Podcast, which, of course, me and Coffee Dave do every week, which we've actually just done. So there's that's out. If you've not had enough of me ranting on, you can listen to me for another hour and 10 minutes talking about Manx football. But yes, Balaboots is an initiative done by Balakameen, PE teacher for Davies, who also plays centre forward for the Isle of Man and St George's when he's not teaching. And he has been organising this campaign to get people to bring in their old football boots. So if you've grown out of your boots, or if you've stopped playing, or you know, just send them in. And he's got them all together, and he's going to send them to Nigeria to kids and adults over there who don't have football boots. And
that's amazing.
So he's done it. He's been doing this campaign for about 6 weeks, I think, maybe 2 months now. So this has got his first batch together now, and with thanks to some sponsorship from Conister Bank, they're now going to be sent out to Nigeria. So Dave, God bless him, did an interview with him this week, and that's in this week's Independent. So we want to find out more about that, which is a great cause. And also, what Faroo wanted to point out, he's still going to keep doing this. So if anyone's listening and they've got any old football boots, just contact him on the Balaboots Facebook page, and he'll arrange to, you can either drop in the boots to him at Balakameen, or he'll collect them if he's doing it.
That's really good, yeah.
So it's a great cause, and as I say, there's a full interview with him in the Independent this week, as well as tons of other sport. There's, I think, a full 12 pages, as always. Right, this week in history, Sam. This is quite recent history. We're only going back 6 years this week, aren't we?
Yeah.
March 2013.
It's a special one.
It's a very special one.
It even says it. It was a snow special.
It was a snow special. So those of you who were live and kicking 6 years ago will remember, it's when the snow came down, didn't it? And you two were looking quite vacantly at me at this, but as if you sort of passed you by this.
No,
but
I remember it.
The island was brought to almost a standstill. I say almost because at the sports desk, we have one that lives in Peel and one that lives in, at the time, was living in Castan, I think. I was the only one that could make it into work. So I had to produce a paper pretty much single-handed. Because you think about our other colleagues, most of them living down south.
Yeah, Port Erin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is it. We're talking about the big snow. It deserves a bit of a better title than the big snow, doesn't it? Because everyone's got, like, there's a big snow every generation, isn't it? And
yeah.
It's sort of like, oh, come on. You know, because now storms are, like, called Gareth and stuff like that. We should call big snows, I think they should give them a name. So Big Snow Dave or Big Snow Colin, you know what I mean?
Oh, I tell you what, take me good for this one. So at the time, if you remember, there was a lot of people digging out the sheep.
Yes.
Big Snow Sean.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, love it.
You've summed up the front page. So this is a very special, we say, snow special, because the front page wrapped round to the back page, didn't it, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, it was funny because it was written by our deputy editor, Jackie, Jackie Tilly, and I said to her, have you been on the back page that often?
Nope.
I said, I don't think so, I think it's the only time I've ever been on the back page, but there she is. Yeah. It was a special edition which made for a problem printing this page off. But yeah, we've got it, and it's so it's, the headline was Ireland at its best.
Yes.
And it was the whole community spirit which came out, because if you remember at the time, there was a lot of the sheep, they were concerned about being buried in the snow, and people went up on the mountains to dig them out and to rescue the sheep and the lambs. And
yeah, there was a story, there was someone quoted, I can't quite see the lady's name, Helen Kermode of Greba Mountain, and she was praised of volunteers saying, from one field they pulled 12 sheep out alive, which was fantastic.
Wow.
And it was just people just going up and trying to do their bit, wasn't it? And there's some great pictures. So there's a picture, as we mentioned, of people trying to dig out the sheep, look for sheep. And then there's the infamous shot now,
yeah,
which
it's
is
quite iconic.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Iconic, which seems to appear on social media every 6 weeks, even when it's in the summer, of the police van stopped up at on Cronkavoddy, wasn't it? Which was in a drift, and the snow was that high. And then I'd forgotten the other picture of the people sat on top of the police van. I must admit, having their picture taken with the top of the police van. But yeah, it was a
with the sirens just sticking out. There's nothing
else. Yeah. It was it's tremendous, actually. It's a bit of a history, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a big thing, actually.
So, yeah, it was a snow special. That was the only story that week, really, that dominated it. I'm sure there was some other inside.
It was 1, 2, 3, 4, 45, 46, 47.
Which is snow. So, yeah, what's that?
That's insane.
8 pages on the snow, which is fantastic.
Did you see what was on page 45?
What?
Right at the top there.
Oh, hang on.
top of the page?
Oh, yeah, page 45, my advert stroke competition of the week. Win a microwave oven from Pasco's.
Now, other electrical stores are available.
But that week, people are probably a bit cold. What they need is a microwave. Yeah. It probably went down well that week at the competitions. The other thing as well, it's just the irony, was it was obviously, as this weekend, it was sort of summertime, wasn't it?
Mm.
So there was a reminder.
It's just that, it's just, don't forget, British summertime starts on Sunday.
That clock screams Richard Butt, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. Do you guys remember the big snow then?
Yeah, well, vaguely. I was only 6 years ago. I was definitely working here. You two seem to have.
Were you affected by it though?
But was I affected by it? No, yeah. I didn't need any counselling or anything. PTSD or whatever.
Apart from like working here and.
No, apart from working here.
Yeah. Post-traumatic snow disorder.
Yeah. I think I had to buy an extra pair of wellies out, wasn't it? But no.
Because was Douglas like. It must have come up to.
It wasn't as bad. I think it was mostly, as you see, obviously the story we talk about, Greba Mountain and Croncavoddy and Kirkmichael, was mostly the west. Everywhere got snow, but the western was mostly affected. My mum and dad live in St John's, up from the Hope Crossroads, and they were cut off for a bit. I remember having to go out and take some bread and milk to them. And I was like, oh, cheers, Dad. You know, could you not walk down the road to the shop? No, you're younger and fitter than me. All right, yeah, fair enough. But yeah, it was mostly the west of Ireland, as I say. A few of us soldiered in and managed to get our paper that week, which in itself was a bit of an achievement. And I believe the front page of the Examiner that week was the brilliant shot our then deputy editor Stephen Parry took from some scaffolding in Kirkmichael. Have you seen
It's proper like Dickensian.
Yeah,
it's makeup. People in the street, sort of like just snow and all that around. It's a real.
It's kids. Yeah, yeah.
It's like the opening shot of a Christmas movie.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's worth looking up online if you can. Right. Katie's not here, so we've got an issue,
got
chaps, because it's time for Manx Word of the Week. So usually she would chime in now with her dulcet tones and relay us with her tremendous grasp of the Manx language, one of her many
not
languages.
Not today.
So producer Emma has said the mantle falls to me on this, so I am now...
Big pressure.
There's a lot of pressure.
Do you feel it?
Massive amount of pressure. I can feel it on my shoulders. I'm going to have to try and... carry on with this most noble of features and Katie's Manx Word of the Week. So last week...
Mm-hmm. I don't remember what it was.
I do because of the way... Katie, again, has, obviously the script yesterday has phonetically spelled them out to help us, as always. And I remember because of the bit of sass, the yath, and I thought it was a millennial term, but actually it's not. So last week's Manx Word was prass. Prass!
Class.
In proper Mandal terms. Anyone want to have a guess what it was? Without looking at the sheet.
I saw it. I can't tell you now.
Is it a vegetable?
It is a vegetable.
You totally read it.
Yeah.
You totally have.
Yeah, you're cheating, Tal. It's potato.
Potato. So,
Prass means potato. Apologise for the Irish listeners.
Because that's the Manx, the Irish, Londoners.
Like Celtic. Feelings
now,
on.
I'm sure there was a link to potatoes, and I can't remember what it was from last week's podcast.
It was my piece about the shelves in Tesco being low, and we were encouraging people to
buy Manx
produce.
Manx prass potatoes. So this week, she's left us with an absolute doozy here, and she...
Yeah, you can do this, because...
right, take a deep breath. This week's Manx word is... Tea cow schnackentinnin. Now, that sounded a little bit like when you've got a petrol chainsaw and it won't start on the first pull. So, tea cow, schnackentinnin. I think I'm butchering the last half of that word. Jess, you'll go.
Tea cow, schnackte?
Oh, you've gone schnackte. I can see why you'd say that, yes. Sam, for our Germanic listeners...
Kashnik now. I just made a noise.
You missed the first word.
Okay, give me a second.
Oh, come on. Time's money. Now you're just making random noises. This is absolute farce. Katie's never going to be allowed off again if we can't hold the shot while she's away.
Kashnik, yeah.
That was similar. We're now going to actually hear how it's properly said by the guys at Culture of Annie. So, by the magic of podcastery, I'll press play on that now.
Take your snachter.
Well, it's fair to say none of us will be getting jobs in the Culture of Annie department anytime soon, because I don't think we were anywhere near that one.
I think we're being so like going to be shipped off in the morning at this rate.
There's a boat in the morning, fella.
And we know what Ben means now, yeah, so we do have to tell them.
Yeah, so that is this week's Manx Word of the Week. Find out. Tune in next week to find out what that means. Hopefully Katie will be back, our natural linguist.
Fingers crossed.
Hopefully the scurvy she has is clears up by then. If you want to send her a good get well message, you can't you, Jess, on via social media?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. So that's at IOM News Podcast on Instagram and Twitter.
Do you know what would really make her happy and increase
just
her rate?
Boost her morale.
Yeah, is if you went out and bought her a digital edition.
Yes.
Of the either the Independent or the Examiner.
Best gift.
Technically,
Katie
you
ever.
Wouldn't have to go out to do that.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't.
That's
you're
the
right.
beauty of
that
it.
Is the beauty of it, Sam.
You can
you're
sit
right.
at home and do it.
Yeah. Yes, you can. You've
from correct comfort me. Of your home.
So to do that, all you have to do is to go onto iomtoday.co.im. Don't get distracted by the rest of the great content on there. You know, it does
I mean,
happen.
It's difficult.
You go down that rabbit hole, you're suddenly looking at the TT results from 2018. Do you know what I mean? It's just all over the shippy. So you go iomtoday.co.im, click on the tab which is entitled Digital Editions, and then you can read our papers online and make Katie well again.
There we go.
Please buy. I'm doing my best Bob Geldof here. Buy a digital edition and let's get Katie back next week.
Let's bring her back.
Right, I think that's about it for this week. What's coming up this next 7 days, Jess?
So there's my B thing, but it's looking at Burundi and how the Manx Public's donation, their donations have helped lots of Burundians.
Right. Is that the right?
Burundians, yes. Apparently, well, that's what Harry Owen says. So
well, we'll go
I'm going with it.
Any other stories in the pipeline? Or what was Vox Pop like this week?
Oh, Vox Pop.
Sorry, your public opinion piece for the
yeah, public opinion piece. What was that? It was on Tuesday, so it completely mucked my shift up. I can't remember, but there is it's going to be a good one. Yeah. I promise you that.
I just can't remember it at the moment.
But I did go to the Charity Challenge final on Wednesday night.
Okay.
And it was really good.
What's that about?
So it's groups from different schools who compete to win an amount of money that will go towards the charity that they're representing. It's usually a Manx charity,
okay.
But some are from across. So that's going to be in the Examiner next week.
Sam, what's on your proverbial plate this week?
I was just trying to think of what the highlight of the week is, and I think it could well be an event I went to this morning.
Yes, I've heard you talking about this.
We went with the Chief Minister and the Department of Infrastructure to watch the first rails being put back down on the promenade.
And the plan is to have horse trams
running by the end of next month.
Oh.
But unfortunately, the rails weren't laid.
Right.
The machine's got a flat tyre.
Oh,
next week we've got some wonderful pictures of the Chief Minister looking at things.
Okay, and then what, if people want to see the Chief Minister looking at things, where can they
It'll
find
be
out?
In the Examiner.
Well, that'll be hitting the shelves on Tuesday morning. Right guys, thanks as always, and until next week.
Bye for now.